Hello, everyone, and welcome to It'sYourSeason.life, where we are discovering and celebrating life at any age. This is a story about you, for you, from people like you. We all share a lot as we mature in life, and the journey is made even more special when we can celebrate it with someone else. This podcast series is based on living well and eating well, with Living Well podcasts featuring guests who inspire all of us to live a life soulful and rooted in a passion. Eating Well podcasts will be focused on healthy lifestyle tips, easy recipes with a plant-forward focus, and all-around wellness. So let's get started. Good afternoon, everyone. It is March the 11th here in Colorado, and my guest today for the It's Your Season Living Well podcast is Bethany Herbick. And I've known Beth for, a little over a year now, and she is just an incredible certified Hellerwork practitioner and massage therapist. And she's been practicing for over 20 years, and I can attest that she has a very nurturing touch and dedication to the art of Hellerwork. And we're here today to learn more about this very interesting healing process and hear the story of how she got started and what it possibly can do for you if it's something that may be kind of in your toolbox of self-care. So welcome, Bethany. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks so much for asking me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So I will tell the audience, I worked with you for, it took me almost a year to go through the process. I really just want to kind of start out with a little bit of your background. And is this something that you kind of fell into, or how did Hellerworks come into your life?
Well, yes, I went to college and I knew even when I was younger that I always wanted to do something holistic. I wasn't even sure what that meant, but I just knew I wanted to do some kind of body-mind therapy, even from a young age after I had gone to a chiropractor who just really opened me up to understand that the body and the mind were not separate. When he worked on me, I would get emotional, and he healed my allergies some, and he just showed me that there was some connection, and that was at 13. So from that time on, I just was kind of looking and not sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to help people. My father's a minister and my mother is a nurse, or they were, I just was always on a mission to help people and knew that I wanted to do that. And I thought I wanted to be a psychologist and then someone in PT. And I got my degree in psychology. And at, around 30 years old, I was introduced to Hellerwork after I had graduated and from college and just worked. I was working as a waitress, and someone introduced me to it. And the very first time they had me on their table, I was a runner and I had a sharp knee pain, and she worked on my rib cage. She didn't even work on that knee, but she kept telling me to breathe with the pain and breathe through the pain. And when I left there and I went to run, I, you know, used that breathe with the pain, breathe through the pain. And when I did that, the knee stopped hurting. And I was like, wow, whatever. I want to do this. I want to do whatever this is. It's healing me or fixing me or doing something. And when I went through the whole series, it was just a very profound transformation. And I really decided at that point and went on to New Zealand and decided to study Hellerwork and went there for 6 months and was there for a total of 12 months at different times. But it was just the training and did the training, and then I just started working. That was my path, and I just have been on it ever since.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing path, and I don't want to give away all the secrets myself. So tell us a little bit about what Hellerworks is, kind of maybe the historical background of it, or you know, how did it itself come into being as a modality?
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody's heard of Rolfing, but Rolfing is a structural integration 10 series program that Ida Rolf founded. And Basically, in each session, you work on part of the body. So in the first session, you work on the rib cage. The second session, you work on just the legs. Each session is an hour and a half. The third session, you work on just the arms. And it's with very deep tissue. We're working on the connective tissue, the fascia. And each session does a part of the body. And then the last three sessions are integrative sessions where you're balancing out things in the upper body and the lower body, and then integrating everything by working on the joint. Joseph Heller was a student of Ida Rolf, and he decided to add the emotional issues or the dialogue piece to the work, and then also movement education, because he felt like if you were talking during the work, you would be able to release more, not just the physical, but the emotional holdings. And then the movement education would help you to keep the work. It would give you constant, you know, things to work on so that you would hold on to the work longer. And so Joseph Heller, with Ida Rolf's okay and blessing, said, take the work. And he created, his last name was Heller, so it became Heller Work. And that's once you go through the process, you've worked your upper body, your lower body, the outer core, the outer parts of the connective tissue, the deeper layers. And I find that you know yourself better, and all the places where your body is stuck, you can unstick those. The connective tissue starts to glide. You bring some moisture back to that and get it moving. And so when people come to see me, they often say they feel younger. They feel like they can move more easily. And that means not just in their physical life, but in their emotional life as well.
It is. It's quite remarkable because you speak about integrating the physical piece with the emotional. And, you know, we all know the emotional baggage that we carry through with us. And if I understand the process as well, sometimes we bring some of this into our physicality. Is that correct? Or how does that kind of work in the Heller Works?
Yes. So sometimes our you know, we'll have a fall. But what I found, so a lot of times when I work on people, they might have fallen out of a tree when they were a child. And so they have pain, an ongoing old pain from breaking an arm. But when I start working on that arm, oftentimes I'll ask, you know, so what was going on in your home? What was going on in your life when you fell out of that tree? And off, you know, what I found is that people often had emotional issues that were tied to that fall. And they might have had that arm worked on many times by a massage therapist, but when we start to make the connection to maybe parents were going through a divorce during the time that they fell out of that tree. And when they make that connection, they can release the pain completely. But until they make the emotional connection, the pain won't necessarily release completely. So making the connection to broken arm, parents getting divorced, I was going through my pain, and that's where it got put.
Yeah, I think that was, I know when we were working together, and I would go home from every session thinking, I had no idea I stored, that memory was still with me and where I stored it. And that's quite fascinating to me of, you know, how we carry things and kind of just, I always call it put it on a shelf, but sometimes in our bodies we don't have a shelf and it might get put in an armpit or something strange or a rib cage, like you said. What is interesting is the whole psychological piece, because what is appreciative is your ability to guide the conversation. So is that part of the training of how to work with that area and guide the person through? Or tell me a little bit about that piece.
Yes. Yeah, so for each session, there's specific dialogue, and Joseph Heller honed that. So when I work on the rib cage, which is the first session, which is really the basis for all the work, I'm working on the rib cage to open up the breath, and I'm going to ask you things like, you know, do you notice your breath? Do you hold your breath? Do you know why you hold your breath? What happens when you hold it? What happens when you breathe deeply? What I find is most people don't even know that they're not really breathing fully. So we always have questions associated with that part of the body, and noticing. What I want is for my client to notice what they're doing with their breath. What do you do with your breath when you're sad? What do you do with it when you're angry? What do you do with it when you're fearful? What do you do with it when you're joyful? So that you can start knowing, wow, what do I do? because really, in Heller work, what we want is for you to have the awareness, because without awareness, you can't change it. But if you're aware, then you can. You have a choice when you're aware. If you're walking around holding your breath and breathing shallow and no one ever asks you some of these questions, you won't ever think about it. You'll just keep breathing that way for the rest of your life. So this opens up the possibility of change. And that's really what the Heller work process is about, is bringing awareness so that you have choice, so you can change if you want to.
I never really thought about it as a change management tool, but it is. I'm just having my aha moment is that... It really is. The self-awareness is huge of how much we are on autopilot every day, whether it's our breathing or how we hold our position or how we walk. You and I worked on my walking. That sounds so ridiculously easy and simple, but you and I worked on my walking. And yeah, the whole self-awareness of what your body is doing with all these body mechanics and the fascia. So it really puts it in a different place of just, and I'm not going to say just massage, but, you know, massage is a tool, but pulling together the fascia application is huge. And so tell us a little bit more, and for those in the audience who may not know, like, what is fascia? What does it do? Kind of give us an analogy maybe of what fascia is and its function in our body.
Well, fascia it's the tissue that surrounds all the muscle in the muscle. So if you cut up a chicken and there's that thin layer of sticky stuff that's stringy, that's fascia. It's like a thin layer that covers the chicken. And we have that on all our muscles. And what happens when we have an injury is that tissue gets dry and hard. So it may even right where the injury is, but then because the tissue is connected throughout the whole muscle and body, if you injure an area on your arm, you may feel that pull all the way up to your shoulder, anywhere else in your body, because it starts to pull from there and it tightens. And so what I'm doing when I'm working on someone and focused on the fascia, not the muscle, the fascia, I am actually bringing more moisture and fluid back to that area, because when the fascia gets hard and brittle like that, the muscles can't move as well. The glide stops and you don't get the kind of glide between muscles or in the muscle itself. So we want to work on the fascia because it is throughout the whole body. And the injury is not necessarily the place where you have to always release. Sometimes it's around. I had one client who I worked on who was having headaches, and I pushed a point on her foot and released the headache. So the headache wasn't coming necessarily from her head. It was an injury that happened at her foot, and the tissue was pulling so hard that she was having headaches. So a lot of times with regular massage, they'll just go in right to the area of the injury. What I tend to do is work around and then work into it, because that's how fascia holds.
And you do this in a very methodical way, because there are, I think, what, 10 or 11 sessions, and there's a rationale on how you move through those 10 areas and levels of fascia. Is that, do I even have that correct?
You do. Yes. The first three sessions are working with what we call the superficial layers. So with Heller work, the first three sessions, it's the rib cage, really, the legs and feet, and the arms. We're working on basically superficial layers of the fascia. And then session 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the deeper layers of the fascia. So we're getting more into the core. So working on like the psoas, working deeper muscles and deeper layers, the pelvic floor, working on the gut. So our abs and, and deep into the back muscles. So we start out superficial so that you can get used to the work and release some of the superficial. And once we release those superficial layers, it's easier to get into the deep. It's not going to be as painful. And then the last three sessions, bodywork sessions, are really balancing out the deeper and the superficial areas. So if you have a shorter leg, I can lengthen that shorter leg by balancing out and working on some of the deeper and superficial layers at the same time.
So when we think of all these, the method and the process of working through the layers and the different, these different focus areas. So from your rib cage to your pelvic floor, to your back. So these large groups. I think the most interesting one for me was the jaw. And I warned listeners that going all the way through the process, you will discover parts of your body that maybe have never been maybe touched, or you never thought about might need some care. And for me, that was the jaw. And it was what you did. I'm not going to describe it, but I had no idea what was going on with my face and my jaw. And it was very powerful to me, I will say that, because I would go back and do that one again, I think, because we do so much with our face and our jaw and our neck that it kind of blew my mind, I'll be honest, Bethany. So go ahead.
Yeah, that is session 7, where we work on the head and the neck and the face. And it is oftentimes a place where the jaw is such a huge piece of releasing, because we all have had dental work and we almost all have some kind of holding from the dental work. But also, it's our avenue of expression. Mm-hmm. And this is also a place where I integrate other modalities like cranial sacral therapy, that's very light touch, mm-hmm. To get into those areas more gently, mm-hmm. but to open that up so that we can open up your avenue of expression. There are people who don't want to speak, who are afraid to speak, and there's emotional pieces attached to that. So we want to go in the mouth and the jaw, but also using not only Heller work, but I also use this other modality to make it more gentle for my clients. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful, because it's something that people are, worried about. They get afraid that someone's going to go in their mouth or what might mm-hmm. happen. So I do have other modalities that I try to apply mm-hmm. To make that gentler. And yes, it can be just like for you, for others, it can be a really big aha, because we don't realize how often we hold, and you don't know where you're holding in your mouth until someone goes in there who's not doing dental work and is using a gentler form to sort of help you realize how much you're holding.
Yeah. So kind of with all of this and combining all this information about the basics of Heller work, do you have a story of maybe one of your clients that particularly stands out and maybe you're like, oh, I love this, is why I do it? Like a real, I don't want to call it a success story, because we're not curing anyone, but we're certainly, you're working with the healing process. So is there a client that particularly stands out over the last 20 years? I'm not asking too much, but yeah.
No, and I, you know, and you're not at all. I really do, you know, there's so many stories, sometimes it's hard to pick one. But I think overall, one of the people who I'm reminded of the most was a young woman who was, she was just a really lovely young woman. She was in her late 20s, and she came to me, and you know, she seemed like she was really doing fine in some ways, but she suffered with some depression. And her body was pretty rigid, and she held herself tight. And when I first met her, she almost appeared doll-like. Like, she was so lovely and so sort of perfectly put together. Uh-huh. That she seemed like a doll. And as we worked, and she was just so... when she got on the table, she was so honest, and she was so ready for the work, and she just really opened up about, you know, how she had grown up with a father who was depressed. She felt like she needed to take care of him. She really took on the role of being who she thought she was supposed to be, and really had no idea who she really was. And as we walked through this process and did, you know, session after session, it was almost like she just became more and more and more real and more herself. And, you know, and it's, I often think of the Velveteen Bunny, Velveteen Rabbit story, because it, for her, it was very much like that. And she just became more and more real. And by the time we finished, you know, she was a strong woman. She was a powerful woman. And she was smart. And she was so busy trying to be what she thought everybody else wanted her to be. And I just was amazed at the power that came out of her, and to have her leave. And oftentimes people will continue to see me, and she really just, it was like she knew who she was, and she walked off into the world. And, you know, I stayed in touch, and I know she got married and had a couple kids and is a wonderful mother. And so I often think of her just because she epitomizes what can happen through this process. Is you just become more real. You just, the transformation of knowing who you are and not having to walk around like a robot. And that is, you know, as lovely as she was hiding this, you know, this beautiful human being in that shell. And she sort of epitomizes that transformation piece.
You were just making me think, and I know you work with men and women, but, you know, women in particular, we tend to like have all these roles, and our roles evolve. And it just is consuming sometimes on which role you're in, and then which one you've just held on to for a long time that maybe it's time to let it go as well. And you also made me think that there's really few times in our lives, you know, as we mature, that we really get that emotional and physical piece together, that explorative piece together, where you're really parsing out, you know, kind of where things are tucked in your body from an emotional standpoint. And I think that is what I found so fascinating, as you've shared, is that whole like integration during that 90-minute session. It's all about you and what's happening in the connection between your emotional piece and your physical piece.
Yeah, and I know that through the years that that's really why people were sent to me. A lot of massage therapists would get stumped with people, therapists would get stumped because even talk therapy, there comes a time, especially if people have had trauma, that they need the combination of touch and talk to release that. Talk therapy takes you to a certain level, but for trauma, and especially if you've had trauma in your body, to have the combination of touch and talk is really another important piece to healing that I don't think people always understand. We can walk around and carry fear on our body and react from fear and not even know that we're doing that. And we can talk ourselves out of it, but there's a way of feeling ourselves through it. And that's what I love about this work, is that we don't just talk our way out of it. We feel our way through it.
Oh, I love that.
That is what healing is about. Healing is really feeling our way through it. It's not avoiding it. It's not bypassing it. So, and I think that's why I just love the work. And, you know, and to be honest with you, I'm really good at it because I did it. I did it myself. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trauma as a child, and I worked through my trauma through body work and talk therapy. And I was doing a lot of that when I was early, you know, early in this work. And so I was healing myself through this work as I was helping others walk through theirs. So, you know, I feel so lucky that I could take my own trauma and help others heal from theirs. So,
yeah. Describe your ideal client. Who might be perfect for Heller therapy?
Gosh, I'm always looking for people who are who have pain that they haven't been able to get rid of. But you know, women or men who are just in a place of transformation where they're feeling stuck, or they just feel like they want to know more about who they are. I'm always looking for seekers. I think that's, you know, people who are seeking, who want something more in their life. Maybe they're not sure what it is. Maybe pain is going to drive them to my door. Maybe questions about their childhood. Maybe they just want to feel better in general. So I don't like to sort of put a box around it, because I've really had everything from a golfer who wanted a better swing, who got a whole spiritual side that he didn't know he was going to get, you know, to people who have been through a lot of childhood trauma, and people who have come to me with pain who just want to feel better.
That was me. I came to you because I just did not want to have shoulder surgery. And after that first session, I was so hooked, because I'm like, this is going to be one of the best things I think I've ever done for myself. As I kind of go into my next chapter of understanding what kind of what I was thought I had let go, but was still holding on to or had not addressed, and the pain got better. I was probably the client that was just going to come in, and I just wanted you to cure me with 10 sessions of Heller therapy. And I learned so much about what was happening inside of all of me. So I want to switch to you for just a moment, because people who are caregivers and help others, and certainly you come from a very caring background of your father was a minister, your mom's a nurse, and now you do what you do. And so how do you take care of yourself?
Well, I have a dog. I'm going to be honest. That's a big part of my self-care, is that I like to take care of him, but he takes care of me. And I've always had a dog almost since I started doing this work. But, you know, I always take time for myself. I'm very, I have my routines of exercising. I love the outdoors, as you know. But I've always been someone who exercises regularly, whether it's to walk or run or swim or bike. And that's a really fills me up and gives me time. I meditate. I'd like to tell you I do it all the time. I don't. It's very, but I can get quiet and I do like to spend time alone. I'm probably more of a, I'm sort of an introvert extrovert, but I like to take time to be by myself, which I need to sort of be there for other people. I have to make sure that I take time to be alone by myself. I have daily readings that I do that are part of my self-care. I probably don't go a day without reading something positive. Even if it's on Facebook, I might scroll, and I'm someone who has just a lot of positive people on Facebook. So they always put good things. And, you know, and I have a Melody Beatty, who's Journey to the Heart, a daily meditation. I read her almost every day. And I have other meditation books that I pick up. I try to fill myself up with good friends and connections. I have some very, you know, good friends. And early on, I had an advisor to help me suss through with good boundaries. And to be honest, I've had to work on those a lot through the years. So it's been it's really important. I usually don't have clients until I've had like a 2 hours to myself in the morning. So even when I worked full time, I usually, you know, was up at 7 and didn't have my first client until almost 10. So always taking time for myself in the morning to get quiet, to say hello to my spirit guides and my God, and just fill myself up because I knew I was going to be giving that day.
That's just lovely. I think sometimes we forget to, always sounds so selfish to put yourself first, but you know, you do have to fill your cup before you share a little bit of your cup with someone else. So yeah. What's one thing that we didn't include today that you maybe we should have included, or you want to be sure and mention again or highlight?
Well, one of the things that I thought about is I just want to let people know, like with the Heller Work series, there's the rib cage we're doing first, and we talk about breathing and breath. The second session is called Standing on Your Own 2 Feet, and it's about standing and walking and how you stand in the world. The third session is reaching out, and that's all with the arms. The fourth session is the pelvic floor, and we talk about control and surrender. The fifth session is the gut, and we talk about gut feelings. The sixth session is the back, and it's called holding back, and we talk about ways you might hold back in your life. The seventh session is losing your head, and we want to teach you how to lose your head some. And this eighth session is the feminine, which is the lower body. The ninth session is the masculine, and then the last session, 10, is the integration session. And then session 11 is a talk session where we just go over everything, because again, we want to sort of put a bow around all the work that you have done. So I wanted to just kind of go through all of the sessions so that people understand what each session entails. And the other thing that I think I want to repeat, partly because you emphasized it, is, you know, we want to feel our way through. We want to learn how to feel our way through life, not just think our way through. And I do think that this work is about that. It's really letting yourself feel your way through with the support of someone else there at first, so you can go on and do it on your own.
And each of these, they really build off each other. But if I recall, there's also my book that you have exercises. There is some homework to do after each session.
Yes,
kind of customized a little bit. Go ahead.
Yep, there's movement education with each session. So in the first session, I teach you how to align your rib cage over your pelvis. And in the second session, I teach you how to walk. And all of these movement education is really to not change everything that you do, but to find your strengths and give you sort of the perfect way in life that we might carry ourselves, but using your body as sort of the guide. So some people's rib cage is way in front of their pelvis, and that's usually the case, but we try to teach it based on your stance and letting you learn how to, like, even walk with bending your knees, pushing off with your toes, playing with the different parts, and then your body will integrate what feels best to it or for it.
And you there is some evaluation, because I remember when I completed the therapy, you know, my shoulder was the issue, but you also said, just look at how much more relaxed your shoulders are, because I'll just tell people, my thing was carrying lots of weight around for everybody else and keeping my shoulders up, and realizing over the time that maybe that's okay to let that go. And, you know, mine was longer than, I didn't go every week. It took a while, but over the course of completing the 10 sessions, the 11 sessions, you know, my shoulders did relax and they were back down into a more natural position. And I think it's still there, Bethany. I think they're still nice in a more natural, relaxed position and not requiring so much energy and so much oxygen to keep them up in that tense position. So there is some evaluation, I think, in there, if I recall.
Yeah, and every session I'm checking in at the beginning of every session. And I remind you, a lot of people have said they hear my voice saying, you know, oh, float your knees forward, relax your shoulders, like, you know. Yeah. So I try to repeat things over and over. So some of the same cues to help remind you. And as I said, some clients have said they sort of hear my voice telling them how to stand or how to move, just as a reminder. So,
and who wouldn't remember that lovely calming voice? But I know, thinking, oh, walking, what could I possibly be doing wrong walking? Well, a lot. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. And I just want other people who might find that they may be at a point in their life that they can find some benefit from it, because it'll be a real journey and educational experience and learning experience of what's going on between the feeling and the physicality of their person. So how would you like for people to reach out to you and connect?
Well, I have a website now that's looking really good, actually. I've worked on it for the last year. It's Bethany@FortCollinsHellerWork.com, or they can reach me by phone at 970-846-4951. And I'd love to hear from them, even if they just have questions. I love my work, and sometimes people just want to understand more before they see me or want to know more. So I'm always happy to open myself up for questions and have people make a decision that way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember if I did a phone interview. I know I had met you before. I can't remember if I just showed up and we got started, or did I come for a visit? I don't remember. I just remember I'm going.
Yeah, well, we met and then we were, yes, and you did. You said I'm going and you came. So I don't know that you called a lot, because I know I always leave that as an option. And I think you just showed up and trusted
yes, the process.
That's right.
I really felt like I was kind of guided. This was something that has potential for me. Yeah, so I appreciate you joining me today. Any final words you'd like to shout out before we end this session? You're not a shouter. I won't say that. That you would like to share.
Well, I just really want to thank you and say thank you so much. It's a pleasure always. It was a pleasure to work with you, but it's also just a pleasure to do this with you. And I'm just grateful. And I think you had asked me in the questions, and that's, you know, one of my big things is that I like to be grateful every day. And I'm grateful for you and the connection that we made. And I'll look forward to and be grateful for those who might hear this and want to come. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm grateful as well. And thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a new tip for living well and celebrating life every day. Give me a shout out with comments or suggestions for future Living Well podcasts. Be sure and check out my website podcast page too, with other interviews of awesome guests sharing their love for living well. You can find me at itsyourseason.life or just search Lisa Boesen, B-O-E-S-E-N, and of course here on Podbean. So thanks for joining me, and remember, it's always your season to celebrate life at any age.